I want to say and focus solely on Pan-Africanism. I want to let you know that Pan-Africanism is not anti-anything, it's pro-something. And our confusion about Pan-Africanism is the assumption that Pan-Africanism does not mean all. It don't mean all Muslims, all Christians, all atheists. It means the unification of African people. Pan-Africanism is not narrow nationalism. I'm not too clear what you mean when you say narrow nationalism, because when you are, the thing you accuse us of and call us narrow nationalism, you are proving other people without a word. I'm saying that the major problem among African people today is not only the lack of understanding of Pan-Africanism, but the lack of understanding of basic African tradition and ways of life that transcended political lines and culture lines and gave all of us a concept of being in a state where our diversity was respected. If you're clear about one thing, and Basil Davidson has written a good book on it called Africa, the Curse of the Nation State, and that the nation state as devised by the Europeans is anti-African. The Africans never lived in a nation state. They lived in a multicultural territorial state. States fertilize states. Cultures fertilize cultures. And when you cut things off from fertilization and cross-fertilization, they ultimately die of cultural nutrition. The European is dying of cultural nutrition. And if someone would have the nerve to explain what happened in Europe, because when they projected an idea as old as the human race, the concept of socialism, communism, the concept of a caring society, that I believe in more now that the thinkers of Europe has failed. When they projected this idea, they were not morally and intellectually equal to living in a state where nobody is exploiting nobody. It was not that the idea failed, but the idea wasn't theirs in the first place. And when we approached it, we never approached our concept of a caring state, a unified state, in the morality of such a state. What we have failed to do in understanding Pan-Africanism, we have to understand when we were great, what made us great. Because we rely too much on other people's interpretation of our life, and we took other people's wares, and quite forget, we had the same thing, including the Adam and Eve story, if you wanted an Adam and Eve story. All the creation stories told in a different version, other people copied from us, personified it, and it started with them. And we accepted this because we were delinquent in understanding our own history and our own strength. Our greatest strength is that we were not against anybody. We did not consider it our privilege to go outside and conquer people, subdue people. All of this came into our life with the fakery of religions conceived by other people. And the most telling point about these religions, that all of them were ungodly in their practices, godly in what they proclaimed to be, ungodly in what they were, and still are. Anytime you type of religion, you said that God cursed someone, you're misplacing God. Any type of religion permits you to enslave someone, then you are defaming the concept of God. Now, I do not believe in the Western concept of God or religion. Let that be clear. I have not met any group of Europeans in their relationship with non-Europeans who had displayed the capacity to be Christian, democratic, socialist, or communist. Because these ideas are higher than the morality which they force on the world in the name of something called civilization. They are uncivil. Now, because we need to focus only on our case for at least for a while, and I call this the essential selfishness of survival, our problem in the world is the fact that we have not seriously considered Pan-Africanism as having the range and the depth, not only of unifying us, but the possibility of creating a new humanity for ourselves and for the whole world. Now, I don't want to go any further about the Farrakhan trip. It unnerves me because this is such a golden opportunity going astray, because he is the victim of the tyranny of words, part of their own creation, part of someone else's creation. He's the victim of certain assumptions that has no basis in historical documentation. The assumption that he and a religion that he belongs to is entitled to rule over other people and to look down their nose at other people. And the religion is comparatively new in the world. Now, what has this got to do with Pan-Africanism? But what I'm saying is that all Western religions, all the three major Western religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, is anti-Pan-Africanism and anti-African. Now, the breaking up of Africa was the anti-Pan-Africanism. If you had the African multi-state, territorial state, no African state would be barred from the sea. I mean, every African state would relate in some way with an outlet to the sea. See, Africa was organized, the organization of Africa after independence by colonialists was anti-Pan-Africanism, because they had broken up large numbers of states that was once the same, one in the same. And they put together states, like four states in Nigeria, that were not together, but could have been together if it was not done for colonial administration. And that the colonial administration is anti-Pan-Africanism, because no one, but no one, ever wants African people to understand that they are a majority in the world, and they should have never accepted the word minority at no time. And if they accept any one of the three major Western religions, they should have reconceptualized them to suit their own need, and not have them conceptualize to suit the needs of colonialists and colonialist stooges. And to tell people, you're outside of the grace of God or humanity if you don't belong to one of them. I maintain that the Western concept and the Arab concept of religion has done Africa more harm than good. Because anytime anything that religion says that I have a right to enslave you in the name of my religion, then religion is not only anti-God, it is anti-human. And all three of them have done this one way or the other. Now, to the everlasting credit of African people, the Africans gave the world no religion. They gave the world a higher spirituality out of which foreigners, fakers, and fools made something called a religion and used that to turn on you and to oppress you. This is why I can confidently say, knowing God will not strike me down, I don't believe in any of them, and yet I'm a deeply spiritually bound human being, and I would not even step on a cockroach. Our problem in understanding what we had to be about is that we shouted nation time too soon. I say, don't shout nation time until you can chemically make muddy water drinkable. Don't shout nation time until you can tell me precisely what makes an aeroplane fly and get into it and make it fly. Don't shout nation time while foreigners are in charge of your resources. Don't shout nation time in South Africa that produces some of the finest diamonds in the world when you don't have one trained African diamond cutter. Don't shout nation time when a country that produces a large number, much of the gold in the world, don't have one trained, scientifically trained metallurgist. Don't shout nation time when you have to turn to your colonial master to make the safety pin to hold your child's diaper together. We have shouted nation time too soon. First place, we should have begun immediately, not before, sending our children to the Colorado schools of mining. All the schools of mining in the world, we should have some students there. And when time came, you had African military people all in the United States mainly. We could have quietly sent those committed to do so to visit Africa with an extra uniform in their suitcase. And when time came and everything was right within South Africa, everything right outside of Africa, don't ask for freedom, just move in and take it. Don't ask permission to live in the land of your birthright. Don't ask that their textbooks be changed, just go in and change it, but be ready to do all of this before you make your move. You have your textbook writers writing the new textbooks. Pan-Africanism is not anti-anything, and it's not narrow nationalism, and there's everything in it that's the salvation of African people. It does not pit one African people against another. It does not pit African people against non-African people. In looking at and taking over Western technology, you have to understand that there's a trap there if you take it over the wrong way. Propaganda-wise, look at the Japanese and the Chinese today. They are becoming the victims of their own success. Why are so many of them altering their nose and their slant hair, the slant eyes, that's beautiful to me? It's their personal physical distinction. They don't have to apologize for it, don't have to boast either. But least of all, they don't have to apologize. Why does so many Japanese and Chinese know Bob Marley, don't know Baron Tucker Moore, who set Japanese modernism and militarism and statism in motion? I ain't got no problem with Bob Marley. I love him too. But why is it our heroes are getting, our cultural heroes are getting so much expansion and attention abroad, and blacks who invented things are unheard of even among black children? How do we know more about Latimer, who created the thermometer, who put into the making of the electric light? Edison created the principle of what make that light burns indefinitely, came from Louis Latimer. Yesterday we was on a train. Someone reminded me, do anybody know that the black man created the company and hold all this stuff together? And he did. Now, why can't we make our children conscious of this? Conscious of the shoes you wear, shoes. Metzelinger created the concept of mass production of shoes. And yet, why do we let our children go into schools where teachers cut them to pieces psychologically, including some black teachers, saying, you never been nothing, you never gave the world nothing? And why do we call Leopold Senghor a great hero when he said that the social thought equivalent is Greek, and emotion is Africa? And what I'm saying that we reach the point where we have to decide whether we're going to exist or not exist, and we're not going to exist under pan-capitalism, it's going to have to be pan-Africanism. Reverend Sullivan, and bless his soul, I think he has good intention, but to wed us to corporations that made that seed money, got that jump start economically in the slave trade, but to lead us into that camp is leading us into another slavery. The same as Farrakhan, if he's going to lead us into the Islamic camp, where people say, if you're not a Muslim, you have to be something a little less than a dog. And they've inferred this, because they have misread history. Why is it that at March on Washington, nobody brought Africa into proper context? Now take between Farrakhan, Colin Powell, O.J. Simpson, black man has gotten the largest media attention in the history of the world. It's probably somebody hiding behind a stone who never heard of them, but nearly everybody in the world have heard of them. Not one of them have brought Africa into proper context and relationship. Not one of them have called attention to our revolutionary birthright of resistance. So then, what good is all of them to us? In my opinion, no good at all. They're both in retreat. And a video, one of the last videos Donahue made, get that video and listen very carefully to the words. The words of Farrakhan. See how anti-Pan-African they are. He was asked two different ways. Will the time come when white people will be members of the nation? His answer was yes. So if the nation becomes, if the nation of Islam became integrated, then what's the meaning of it? What's the original meaning? So, oh, all right, now you're going to integrate with the person you call the devil. What's the contradiction in that? Now, I maintain that anybody who's in charge of the hell in my life is my devil, even if he's black. So my concept of the devil differs from their concept of the devil. What I'm trying to call for, because I'm mainly here to listen to the other brothers. I met a lot of the brothers from Sudan and from Mauritania and Manchester, England. I'm anxious that we be exposed to their point of view, because if any of us survive on this earth, all of us are going to have to survive on this earth. And we're going to have to start supporting each other beyond any religious bounds or any culture bounds. We come together as one people. And if we claim the revolutionary heritage just of the Sudan, that's a new name, you know. We'd be far, far. We far down the line. We have to understand the geography of Africa, and that the intent of people coming into Africa was never good, and no one came into Africa to do African people any good. Less than 20 years after the Arabs entered Africa, they forced a treaty on the Sudan, the Bach Treaty. It's documented in a book called Nubia Corridor to Africa. It's a pro-Western racist book, but it did document a little-known treaty in which the Arabs forced the people of the Sudan to deliver 360 slaves a year and declared war on them when they did not deliver it. The Arabs in the slave trade 1,000 years, yet you get so dewy-eyed over something and want to kill your own brother for exposing the fact that no organized Western religion came into Africa to do Africans any good. And Africans, if they look in their own indigenous way of life, had religions, ways of life, just as satisfactory, including the Adam and Eve story. If you want to know the African side of the Adam and Eve story, it was always there before Christianity. Now, this is not an anti-religious tirade, but this is to let you know that if you look at Africa today, the design of Africa by colonialists and the acceptance of those that design by puppets, that design was anti-Pan-Africanism. Once we come together as a total people, making contact with those in the Pacific, Africans in India, far more than 100 million, and the Africans in Africa, we represent a major power in the world even before we fire a shot. Even before we pick up a gun, we can march into the arena of world power. But if you're going to think that somebody in the Caribbean Islands is different from those in the United States, they're victims of the same historical experience with variations, but they are distinctly the same people. If you think those in the Pacific are catching less hell than those out of the Pacific, then you're misreading history. I have discovered that Africans from New Guinea and some of the islands of the Pacific have a better sense of Pan-Africanism than those in the West. They're very clear. They would not let the European arbitrarily take over the metals. It was not the people's decision to make. It was the elders' decision to make. Now, if you understood the pre-independence literature in Ghana, Ghana was not only set up and designed before Nkrumah to be a Pan-African state, But to be basically a state that others call socialism, the African didn't call it anything, he just lived it out. Read Casey Hayford, The Truth About the West African Land Problem. Another book, Toward Nationhood in West Africa. John Sabars, Fanti Customary Law, Fanti Law and Constitution. Without getting into dogma about socialism, all those states were designed originally by its pre-independence actives to be states where each person got according to his needs. That's nothing new. You get excited about it when Karl Marx said, but you don't know that Akhenaten said it 1,300 years before the birth of Christ from a throne in Egypt. We keep looking for our salvation outside of ourselves. And no matter what you call it, we have no salvation outside of ourselves. I call this the essential selfishness of survival. Being able to look after your kith and kin first. And this is not narrow nationalism. This is human survival that you grant to every human being to walk on the earth. Snakes don't fight for cats, and cats don't fight for dogs. Each one fights for his own kith and kin. And you got to be better than them, or should be, in order to survive on this earth. We were at our best when we lived in a society. We recognized that society was held together by high morality and collective discipline. Show me any society without it, and I will show you a society that will eventually fail. Why did Rome fall? Low morality, no discipline. Greece the same way. And we quite forgot that when they were talking about democracy, that meant a few people, and those few people all had slaves. Now look at the same pattern in the United States. They were talking about democracy, liberty, and justice for all, when nearly all blacks were slaves one way or the other, which means they did not consider them as being part of the world's humanity. My point is this: we must seriously consider Pan-Africanism all over the world, and it has to go beyond the cultism around any particular religion, because any religion that failed to contribute to our liberation and maintenance of our liberation as a people, so far as I'm concerned, need to be thrown into the ash can of history. If we are tomorrow's makers, and we can be, we can turn back the war against us. If you read a book called Tribes, every ethnic group is considered except the African ethnic group. They're diagramming the people scared you to come to power and to hold power in the next millennium. The Jews, who are a very small group of people, the overseas Chinese at home, the East India, they assume that Africa's wealth is going to be controlled by non-Africans, and that they program their economy based on the assumption that they will have control of Africa's wealth. Everything that calls itself a leader and a speaker must ask and answer this question: how will my people stay on this earth? How will they be fed? How will they be housed? How will they be protected? How will they be educated? And how will they protect themselves in danger? when we are ready to do all of this in the name of Pan-Africanism that stretches across all religions and cultures and boundaries, when we are ready to do this, and we have trained people to maintain every aspect of a nation, every plane that flies over the nation either flies with our consent or we fly the plane. When you've done all of that, then shout nation time.